I'm Andrea Seabrook at the Capitol. Prime Minister Blair's address to Congress yesterday was attended by Vice President Cheney, Secretary of State Colin Powell, and most of the rest of the cabinet. Most members of the Senate and the House were also on hand, and the applause and standing ovations rivaled those at a State of the Union address. Blair's speech was a resounding pledge of allegiance to the ideals of the United States, and he urged the U.S. to take the role of world leader. He said he knew how hard it was to shoulder such a burden when world opinion was antagonistic, and he empathized with Americans who are suspicious of foreign commitments.
And in some small corner of this vast country, out in Nevada or Idaho or these places I've never been to but always wanted to go, I know out there there's a guy getting on with his life perfectly happily, minding his own business, saying to you, the political leaders of this country, why me? And why us? And why America? And the only answer is, because destiny put you in this place in history, in this moment in time, and the task is yours to do.
Many members of Congress were impressed by the speech. One was Iowa Republican Senator Charles Grassley.
I hope all Americans hear it, because they will hear from a person outside the United States the tremendous responsibilities that the United States has been given at this particular time.
Another was Virginia Republican Congressman Tom Davis.
He's probably more American hero than a British hero at this point, but we're very proud to honor him.
Blair has been facing intense criticism back in the UK over British intelligence reports concerning Saddam Hussein's efforts to buy uranium in Africa. That intelligence was used to bolster the argument that terrorists could get nuclear weapons from Iraq to use in the U.S. Blair did not deal with that issue directly in his speech at the Capitol, but he suggested even if weapons of mass destruction are never found in Iraq, it was still necessary to topple Saddam.
Can we be sure that terrorism and weapons of mass destruction will join together? Let us say one thing. If we are wrong, we will have destroyed a threat that at its least is responsible for inhuman carnage and suffering. That is something I am confident history will forgive.
If the link between terrorists and weapons was real, Blair said, ignoring it would be an error history would not forgive. House Majority Leader Tom DeLay said Blair's speech was compelling and should put to rest criticism of President Bush for using the British intelligence in his State of the Union address.
He redefined what the war on terror was and reminded us that this is a war. This isn't 16 words in a State of the Union message.
But Blair's words did not satisfy California Democrat Maxine Waters, who did not always join her colleagues in standing ovations for the Prime Minister.
He came to the United States with a cloud hanging over his head. He maintains that it's good information, that it's reliable information. He can't tell us where it came from. And his friend, President Bush, says it's not good information, and they should not have used that information. And I am overwhelmed by the gap.
Blair's speech did include words of gentle reproach for some aspects of American foreign policy, including a tendency to exert leadership by acting alone. Blair said the world needed not a rivalry, but a partnership between Europe and the United States to achieve more peace and democracy.
What America must do is show that this is a partnership built on persuasion, not command.
One early opportunity to demonstrate that cooperation would be in sharing the peacekeeping duties in Iraq. Andrea Seabrook, NPR News, The Capitol.